We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
David, we hear a lot about the problem of pensions, both on a statewide and city basis in Providence, but there's another looming financial crisis in terms of retiree health care, often called OPEB or other post-employment benefits. Providence has more than $1 billion in OPEB obligations, most of which is unfunded. Does the city have a plan for coming to terms with that problem?
That is something that the Ways and Means Committee will take a close look at in the months to come. Healthcare accounts for $40 million of the city's budget, $21 million for retirees, $18 million for our active employees. So $40 million out of a $332 million municipal budget adds up, and that's something that we should take a close look at in the immediate future.
Why can't we just put these people in Medicare? Wouldn't that make sense?
We did do that with our retirees
at
65, and that was a cost savings to the city. So we were proud to bring our retirees to the negotiating table and effectively make that move.
As we know, City Council President Michael Solomon is running for mayor with Angel Taveras running for governor. You're seen as one of the leading candidates to succeed Solomon as City Council President, along with Ward 10 Councilor Luisa Ponte. How do you look at this matchup, and how do you see your path to victory?
Well, Ian, I think it is premature to discuss future leadership teams in the City of Providence, only because there are issues that require immediate attention. The budget was submitted a couple of nights ago, so that will be my primary focus in the Ways and Means Committee in the future. There's a time and a place for everything. I'm looking forward to having this discussion with my colleagues after the elections, but right now the focus is the city's budget and our finances.
Would you like to be City Council President?
It's something that I have thought of, but again, it's not something that is on my radar at the moment, only because of the issues that are facing the city.
Let's go to Scott.
We know we've got a very spirited Democratic primary campaign for mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think would be the best mayor in the current field?
Well, I think all of the candidates possess a specific skill sets that are necessary for the office. I have worked closely with the council president over the last 3 years.
That's Mike Solomon.
Michael Solomon on a number of key issues. And we've worked very well together, and there's no doubt in my mind that he would be an effective mayor. I like the other candidates. I think they're smart, articulate people. And I think they possess skill sets that are conducive to the mayor's seat. Again, Michael and I have worked closely together, and I'm proud to call him not only my friend, but a colleague.
Buddy Cianci celebrated his 73rd birthday this week. As we know, he is considering a run for mayor. How would you describe the impact that a potential run for mayor by Cianci is having on Solomon and other candidates in the race?
Yeah, former Mayor Cianci understands elections, especially in Providence, better than probably anybody we know. The former mayor has a skill set. He understands Providence. So I'm looking forward to learning more about the mayor's race in the near future.
What do you think the hit Providence might take just from a publicity standpoint of having, you know, a two-time convicted felon who's 73 years old? Does he look like the mayor of the future of a new Providence?
This is a democracy, and he has the right, like everybody else, to run for any political seat in the
city. I know he
does,
but how do you think you can make the case for voting for somebody like that?
Yeah, and that's something that Mayor Cianci will have to convey to the electorate.
You were part of an effort that identified how Providence failed to monitor dozens of special tax breaks for developers over a period of about a quarter century. What was the explanation for why the city failed to do its diligence in monitoring those deals?
I don't think there was a staffing issue. I don't think we had adequate resources in place to effectively monitor tax stabilization agreements. Let me just say, right now, tax stabilization agreements are the only economic development vehicle in the city that we can use to drive business. A lot of it is contingent on what happens at the state level. I am not anti-tax stabilization agreement. However, not every development is the right development for the city of Providence, and that was proven during our deliberations in the Ways and Means Committee. Moving forward, I would like to see some benchmarks and milestones included in the ordinance so that we can effectively bring new businesses to the city of Providence that are conducive to our population.
We're talking here with Providence's Ward 14 City Councilor David Salvatore. And just to follow up on what you're saying, David, we know that Providence desperately needs new tax revenue. And at the same time, it's difficult to encourage new development downtown, even where there's a strong appetite for new residential units, for example, in part because the cost of construction and Providence has high commercial tax rates on a national level. What does Providence do about that?
I was happy to hear a couple of nights ago that the mayor did not include a tax increase in the budget. I think we have to do a better job of bringing more taxpayers to the city of Providence without raising taxes.
How do you do that?
Again, we took a necessary step in freezing the commercial tax rate. We are no longer number one in the country in terms of the highest commercial property tax rate. At $36.75, I think it is still too high.
$36.75 per $1,000.
How about nonprofits? Is there a way, without hurting them, to squeeze more money out of places like Providence College, Brown, Johnson & Wales, and Rhode Island School of Design? Is that something that's reasonable?
Yeah, I think there is a lot of opportunity to continue that collaborative effort with our tax exempts. We're happy that all of the tax exempts in the city of Providence came to the table and wanted to play a role in saving our city. I think we have to continue having those discussions, and that our major tax exempt institutions recognize that they are a part of our city. If the city fails, they fail. It's a two-way street.
The developer of the vacant Superman building wants state money to try and turn that into a residential complex. Where do you stand on that?
I'm interested in learning more about that specific project. I think it's important for the city council to have this conversation with experts. We are not economists, as you know, and it's important for us to speak with professionals, speak with experts relative to this specific project, or if there are other projects that, again, are conducive to the downtown district. I want to hear what those options
are. This is a crucial building in Providence, and I'm wondering if you would be amenable to a tax stabilization deal if we can preserve that building.
I think the goal is to preserve the building. I think demolishing it would be a grave mistake. However, a vacant building does not help the city of Providence. So, again, I am interested in learning more about the specific project that has been brought to the city's attention. And if there are other projects, again, that might fit well in that building. Again, it could be residential coupled with some commercial space, all commercial space. I don't know. Again, I'm not an economist. I want to know what fits best for project. It speaks to tax stabilization agreements, and is it the right development for the city of Providence, and what is the city's return on that TSA?
You represent Elmhurst, Mount Pleasant, and Wanscuck. I wonder what you tell your constituents when they express concerns about issues like a lack of jobs or perhaps crime and violence in their neighborhoods. What can the city do to help?
Yeah, I think given, again, where we started in 2011, one of the most difficult decisions that I had to make on the Providence City Council was asking our police department to do more with less. I'm happy that there is a police academy in this budget, and there are going to be 60 new police officers on our streets. But difficult decisions had to be made, and it's important. It was important for our taxpayers and our constituents to recognize those difficult decisions. I think Chief Clements has done a remarkable job with the resources that he has at his disposal, and crime is down. If you look at the statistics, crime is down across the city.
Why can't the City of Providence and you folks in City Hall present a plan and do a better job of leveraging one of the best assets the city has, which, as we know, is the Providence Water Supply Board and the Citro Reservoir? I mean, it seems ridiculous to me that we're selling water in Providence to Kent County, and they're marking it up and wholesaling it and retailing it to their customers, making money off it. Yet Providence can't get a rate of return from the Citro Reservoir.
I agree with you, Scott, and that's a conversation that has to be had with the Public Utilities Commission. We should be able to sell our water.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And Providence's Ward 14 Councilor and Chairman of the City Council's Ways and Means Committee, David Salvatore.
Thank you, gentlemen, and go Red Sox.